It's a sight we haven't seen for more than a year. But later this evening, Australian time, a group of world leaders will gather in person for the G7 summit in Cornwall. Australia is not part of the G7, which represents the wealthiest democracies in the world, but Prime Minister Scott Morrison's been invited as a guest. And there's a lot to discuss. The economy, the pandemic and climate change are topping the list, as well as geopolitics, which will undoubtedly focus on China. Bridget Fitzgerald has more.
After more than a year of video conference diplomacy, global leaders are gathering in person for the G7 summit in Cornwall this weekend. US President Joe Biden took an opportunity to visit one of the local pubs on Thursday ahead of the meeting.
How's it going, Mr. President? You enjoying it here?
We're enjoying our walk.
Could do with more sunshine.
Well, I tell you, this is so beautiful, I don't even need the sun.
Instead of sunshine, however, Cornwall's been blanketed in a heavy fog, which has prevented some leaders, including Scott Morrison, from landing. The PM touched down just outside of Oxford, about a 4.5-hour drive from the summit. When he stepped off the plane, he was keen to spruik the success of Australia's COVID recovery to waiting journalists.
Our economy being bigger today than it was before the pandemic hit. More Australians employed today than before the pandemic hit.
G7 leaders have pledged 1 billion COVID-19 vaccines will be supplied to poorer countries by the end of next year. As part of that, Australia will donate 20 million doses. Benjamin Riley, a professor of political science and international relations at the University of Western Australia, says vaccination's just one of many issues on the agenda.
The pandemic, the economy, climate change will be the three big ones. And then there's this undercurrent of geopolitics.
It's on that topic that Australia's presence will be valuable.
I think the underlying plan is to try and get the major democracies of the world coordinated in their approach to China. And I think having Australia there, given everything that we've experienced over the last couple of years with China, will give a lot of, you know, potential for, I think, Morrison to make a contribution at the meeting.
When it comes to one of the other major issues, climate change, the host nation, the UK, has made it clear that reducing global emissions is a top priority. And Australia is seen as somewhat of an outlier in the Prime Minister's refusal to set a deadline for reaching net zero emissions.
I think there's a sense in which Australia could and should do a lot more. I think Scott Morrison should expect, and I'm sure does expect, to receive a fair bit of pressure on that issue.
Do you think that pressure is likely to have any effect?
Well, it hasn't had much effect so far, has it? This will be interesting to watch. If we are looking at the G7 as being something different to what it's been in the past, as being the sort of peak club of democracies, which Morrison has rhetorically at least put huge store in terms of his speeches recently, then you would think that maybe there is a bit more of an incentive to get into line on other key issues such as climate change.
Australia, unfortunately, is a little bit of a laggard when it comes to its capacity to produce, firstly, green and secondly, complex or technologically sophisticated products.
Dr. Penny Mealy is a research fellow at the Monash Business School and is one of the researchers behind a new report into the transition to green technology globally and an online resource, the Green Transition Navigator, which tracks the competitiveness of global economies in their transition to green energy. In a foreign policy speech in Perth earlier this week, Scott Morrison said Australia's been underappreciated in its green energy achievements, including having the world's highest uptake of rooftop solar. He said Australia's goal is to reach net zero as soon as possible and that the aim was also to protect jobs. Dr. Mealy says it doesn't have to be a choice between the two.
There is what we call a green get greener effect. So it's much easier for countries that currently have the capabilities to competitively export green products to develop further competitiveness in even more green products and technologies in the future.
Bridget Fitzgerald with that report.